And I remember like that, like I just had like that scripture in my mind that said, be still and know that I am God and I will be exalted. And he was there. I was doubting. My family would testify. I was in doubt because I was like, God, I don't know what's going to happen. Like you because we're humans. I felt like, okay, God, there's so much you've done. Why would you do this one? Where am I going to be? Like that uncertainty. So I had to like encourage myself. Like I had to put God. I was like, God, you've brought me this far. You would not leave me right here. Lord, show yourself. And then that scripture for the vision is yet for an appointed time. Don't tarry, wait for it. For it would come, it would not delay. And just to cut the long story short, like I literally started, like if you had asked me like 3 weeks ago, where are you going to be in July? Like, because that's when my OPT cuts. Like, I would definitely be shipped out of the country because I cannot work without getting, like, a visa. And just, like, last week, like, I just got, like, that notification, like, hey, you were approved for the H-1B visa. And I'm like, why? You know, like, God does things and you're like, why me? You know, like, I don't deserve this because I fall many times and he's faithful, but he just pleases him. It pleases him to bless us. And I'm just here to encourage somebody today, like, hold on to him because he's ever faithful. He would never, ever, ever disappoint you. Like, he's faithful and he loves us and he's our God. He's not just somebody that you pray to. He's not just that person, that man with the white beard that you just talk to. He's so personal. Like in my family, he's so personal. Like we feel him every single day. And we definitely are not the holiest people on the planet. We do some random ridiculous things. But it just pleases him. Like when you get that, it pleases him to bless you. So just tell him, like, Lord, this is where I am, Lord. Just have your way because your way is perfect and your way is beautiful. So that's me today. A living testimony of what God has done for me, for my family. If you know us, you know, like, a lot of things have happened. And it all goes back to him, all to him and him alone. And just want to bless the Lord today. Just give him all the glory, all the honor, because he's faithful.
Praise God. I have a testimony, and I want to sing a song that my mom would always sing when we were younger. And I remember whenever I sang this song, I sang it, but I didn't really understand the depth of what it meant. So it goes this way. I'll translate it. It's in Yoruba.
Meloni oroyin ninu oreti baba se. Meloni kinso ninu oreti Jesu se. Ore re ma po oju yori okun lo meloni kinro afikin shama dupe ore re ma po oju yori okun lo meloni kinro afikin shama dupe.
Basically, the song just says that how much can we say but just thank God, because his favor upon us is just greater than the oceans. And my life is a testimony. Everything that I have ever done, I can't imagine that I would be here standing in front of you to say what I'm about to say. So in 2015, I came for my master's degree. And I only came from Texas with $200 in my pocket. I didn't have any money for school, any money for rent, food, nothing. I just came. I didn't know what to do because, like Ruth talked about, if you don't, my OPT had cut off and I didn't have like another job or H-1B, so I had to come back to school. And so I came back and I applied for a scholarship and they told me, oh, you can only get $1,000. And so I applied and I got it. But when I got it, they gave me $5,000 instead. And I was just surprised that how did this happen? What happened? What happened? I was just so surprised. And so the amount of my school tuition at that time was about $4,000. So I did get a refund back for $1,000. And this helped me pay for rent and paid for everything. But I mean, that was just one semester. So in October, I was obviously looking for a job just to be able to fend for myself. And in October that year, I saw a posting for a job that was way above my qualifications. So I went to the director of the program and I told her that I'm not really looking for a paid job. I just want to volunteer. And she said, oh, that they only have paid jobs and it's only for U.S. citizens. So I was so devastated. That was a Tuesday night after my class. I was so sad because I was like, well, there goes all my hope because I didn't have money. And so on Thursday, she called me and said she figured something out and she found a way to give me the job, even though I was an international student. And I don't know how God did it, but he did. And so I was able to get that job. And that was what helped me to be able to survive from 2015 to 2017. Now, for the rest of my year, every single semester, I would get $5,000. Till today, I don't know what they talked about. It was only a $1,000 scholarship I was supposed to receive, but I always got $5,000. And that was how I was able to pay for all of my tuition while I was here. And I say this not to talk about, you know, that my journey throughout my master's degree was smooth sailing or, you know, I didn't have any issues. I went through a lot of issues. You know, some of you know that my mom passed during that time and I struggled in class. I attempted suicide so many times, but God was faithful. He never left my side, even though when I doubted that everything was going to go wrong in many different times, he was always there. Sometimes it feels like it's something else. Whenever I tell the story, it feels like it's not even a part of me because I'm still baffled. Because last April, my dean of my department advised that I stop going to school because I was doing so bad in my classes. I was an A student all throughout my college, so I never knew what it meant to like get C's or get F's in classes. But for my dean to call me and tell me that he advised that I have to leave school in April and I was supposed to graduate in May, I didn't know what to do. My family came and they were ready to take me home, but I begged and said that I could do this. I could do this. And I had to present for my thesis like 2 weeks after. And my friends know that it was just an amazing, glorious way that I presented my thesis and I had the highest grade. Everyone said I did so well. I don't know how I did it, but I know that God was there through it all. And I'm just thankful. I'm really, really thankful to God. And I want to serve as an encouragement to anyone who's going through whatever it is. Know that God is always there. Yesterday in Bible study, we were talking about what God's will is for our life. And, you know, Mr. Ojo was talking about how sometimes we just hear that God is silent. We don't know what's going on and we don't know what to do. But knowing that if we're serving God on a day-by-day basis, on a moment-by-moment basis, we know that we are God's children and he will always provide for us. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Praise Master Jesus. Okay. I have a testimony. Actually, testimonies concerning me and my family. God has been faithful, and right from the moment I stepped into USA, His faithfulness kept on pushing me. His presence has always been with me. And the day I can never forget was the day I stepped into the U.S. and it snowed. And my aunt said, "You brought blessings into America." And I was like, okay. I got into the library to get a book for a class. And someone walked up to me, a stranger. And she said, "I know you have doubt." Because anyone that knows me, coming from Nigeria, it was a lot of struggle. I was 200 level in Nigeria University, and I had to give that up to come to a place where I don't know anything. I don't know anyone except Sister BC. And it took courage to be able to live out of my parents' presence. But getting here, she said, "I know you have doubts, I know you have fears, but you said I should tell you, I am with you, always." I took that word and I wrote it down in my diary. Second semester, actually first semester, the same semester I got here, we started having financial issues, and it was tough. My mother just retired and they were not paying her pension. But the second month after I got here, after my birthday, she called me and she told me she got a pension paid and she was able to pay my tuition. It wasn't easy even after that. Second semester, third semester, sophomore year, junior year. But 2016, I changed everything. I came up with a theory where I tell myself every year, I have to tag the year, I have to name the year. And I said 2016 would be my year of jubilation because I'm tired of crying, I'm tired of weeping, I'm tired of doubting, I'm tired of fears. And God said, "Yes, you will. You will jubilate." I didn't just jubilate. I was able to glorify God. My mom had some issues with her health, and even to date, she tries not to tell me. But I told her, "My year of jubilation is over, mommy. It's time for us to celebrate. In our family, we are going to celebrate. And to the glory of God." I don't know how to say it. I don't know how to start. But I have two sisters that are pregnant right now. I have one that just got married. And everybody's waiting for me to be celebrated by December. Because it's brought me this far. And His word continued to be made manifest. We are not rich, neither are we poor. But we are sufficient because we have God. I was going to give a testimony about me and Okpe, sophomore here. We actually were kind of close friends, and we were sisters for each other in Christ. We had financial issues. She would talk about her family, I'll talk about my family. We couldn't help it, but we are there for each other. But to the glory of God is what came at, and He healed us. He made ways in which we couldn't imagine. When she said our ways, I was like, it was kind of the same thing with the way God did it for me, but He did it in a different way. Mine came first, but her came second. I was happy because I was actually devastated for her story. I prayed, we prayed together, and God made a way. So I was going to say, no matter what you're passing through, no matter what you think, it's not happening. But know that God's time is the best time. You don't make any competition with any man. Your destiny is different from another person's destiny. You don't know if your destiny is brighter than another person's destiny. Don't try and copy this person. Don't try and follow this person's footsteps. Wait for God to direct you. Because wherever He leads you, follow your gut if you know you have the Spirit of God in you. Listen to your spirit mind. Listen to that spirit. Because you know what? When God says, "I am with you," He says, "When I am with you, even the devil cannot change what I have for you. He cannot conquer the plan I have for you. Come fall, come sun, come rain, come thunder, come tornado, whatever. My steadfast love will continue to remain constant. And the only thing we cannot ever change is God's love." And that was, I was like, I was going to dedicate a song to Him. That's always been my song for Him. Now only You I know, even if the world no say so, I don't let them know everywhere I go, cause even when I will fall, you catch me, you raise me, you know true with me. I don't know if any other person go fit love me like the way you love me. Oh, Baba, oh, Daddy, because you love me so, now only you I know. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, students, for sharing, for being so honest and so appreciative to God. It's not easy standing up here sometimes, telling all your business to people you don't necessarily know. But we want to thank God for showing up today. He's still here, and we want to acknowledge him. It's time now for the word and sharing our word. If you don't know, it's student-led Sunday. It's a student-led service. So we have one of our sisters to come and share the word with us today. That's Sister Stephanie. Welcome her as she comes.
Praise the Lord. I don't know, it's just so much joy to be in God's presence. It's so much joy, and there's just so much pleasure in his presence. I can't even describe. I'm just so happy within, and you can see it on my face right now. Thank you so much, worship team. Thank you. I don't even know how to describe how much of God's presence is here. So while the worship was going on, Daisy asked this question: what's your position? And as soon as she said it, I don't know how many of you heard, I clapped. Because this is something that when God works, he doesn't just work in one place. He confirms it every other place. He's not just, when they say God is omnipresent, that's not a lie. Because he doesn't just tell you one thing. He confirms it with other people. And when she said that, I'm like, God, aren't you so wonderful? And so many other of you said a couple of things that, he's like, because I was like praying to God, what do you want me to give your people? What do you want to use me to, you know, share today? And I was so mindful about it. And he confirmed it in several ways. And I am so grateful. I'm so grateful. And that brings me to what I have for you all today. Wearing the full Christ-like demeanor with actual inward posture. If any of you are writing, I'm going to say it again. Wearing the full Christ-like demeanor with the actual inward posture. I mean, yeah, I don't know what to say about this topic. But when I kept researching, I looked up the meaning of demeanor. And it says the outward behavior or bearing what's on your outside. Then, I mean, posture, the position in which someone holds their body when standing or sitting. Then, I mean, I looked up in the internet, you have like posture for a healthy back, ways to improve your posture, posture correction, all that stuff on the internet. But, I mean, what you're talking about is just outward posture. Oh, if my back hurts, what do I do to make me, you know, make it stop hurting? And how do I put myself physically? And that's my physical posture. But now, if you heard my title, I said inward posture, not just your outward look. And that brings me to, can you bring back up like the verse that was on here? It was Joshua 24:14 or 4. One of them. But it was while the worship was going on, and that was a scripture that was there. Yeah. 24:14 says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Can you also pull up Romans 12:11? I mean, I have it here, but I want to read it on the big screen. Romans 12:11. Thank you. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. If you notice, like I said, serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. When they say spirit, do you think it's just your physical being? Sometimes I wonder how people are just like physically saying, like, okay, this is just like a mere example. It's like, oh, like maybe someone hurt me or someone got me annoyed, and the next day I'm just like, hey, how are you doing today? You look so beautiful. And I walk away like, you don't remember what you did to me last night. You know, or you don't remember how you annoyed me or something. That's not what you think about the person connecting with, what you're physically saying towards the person. And that's pretense and that's hypocritical. And here, like, I have like several ways to. Okay, before I go there, can we open Matthew 7:21? Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On the day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do miracles in your name? Then I will announce them, I never knew you. Depart from me, the lawbreakers. Wait, how will you feel if your mom just comes to you and say, oh, I know I bought you for 9 months, but now I don't know you anymore because you've changed? This is the same God's words that said, even before your mom even knew that she was even going to be pregnant for you, I mean, that's not how the Bible says it, but I'm just saying it. Before you were knitted, and he knew the end from the beginning. He knew what you were going to be at this stage, even before you were born. And imagine him saying, depart from me, I do not know you. Because you're just here saying, Lord, Lord, this, and it's just in the four corners of the church walls. It's not even exceeding the door. Then after you go out, it's like you never knew what you were doing in the church, just because it was the church. Okay, let me just be, let my posture be like, oh, I'm really for the Lord. Meanwhile, I'm not. So there's just several things we do that God is like, what's up with my people? Like, what's going on? This is something in your physically you be like, oh yes, man, God is my savior. Oh, I'm so on fire for him. Oh, I'm radical for Christ. But yet in your heart, it's just like, it's just so filthy. It's just so, I'm not trying to come here in for, I mean, I'm still growing and I'm still trying to realize the fullness of Christ in me. And I fall daily. I fall and I rise up and I say, like, God, this is what I want. And imagine, like, he's trying, because it's very, I don't know if you guys have heard, like, jokes of people saying, oh, maybe most of the time it's about makeup. Like, when God sends your blessing, he sends it to Stephanie and he gives it to another person because of your makeup. Like, he doesn't even recognize you again because of how you have changed your physical self. I mean, that's just a random joke, but like this, like, for real, this is what God has. God knows, okay, this is Stephanie, or this is Tolu, this is Lola, this is how I want them to be. And yet you're forcing out God's spirit from you just to fulfill your fleshly desires, or just to fulfill what you feel at that moment. And the journey with Christ, or for Christ, or trying to be radical for Christ, doesn't just last physically. There has to be some sort of inclination with your spirit man. Because they say, God, when you worship God in truth and in spirit, does that, like, I can't worship something that's not something in a certain way. I know that was kind of vague, but what I mean is that if God was not spirit, there would be nothing like worshiping him in spirit as well. It would just be physical. And God is not just physical. He is also spiritual as well. He wants to see what's that inward posture. How is your heart for me? It's not just physically, oh, this is what, oh, I'm going to wear my long skirt, tie my hair, or do this, and man, I'm for Christ, and it's just the four corners of the church walls. That's highly hypocritical. Okay, this is what I kind of came up with the help of internet as well. It said, letting the inclination of your spiritual self count. And that's what I have been trying to say since. Like, when you let the inclination of your spirit man count physically, it's not just what you think there and you let it rest there. Okay, I went to church and they told me that I should do this for God and do that for God, and you just let it rest there. Then when you go out, you'll be like, I mean, when I come to church, I think I can do it. But outside the church, I don't think it's really valid because no one is, you know, telling me constantly. But no. Like, I mean, I won't say back in the days because I'm still young. But yeah, back in the days. Well, yeah, like, I'll say like it was just like me battling with what will God think of me. I mean, I know you guys know that thing, what would Jesus do? It's not just about you coming out and being shiny and being this, and yet you're just dirty inside. Okay, let me use this physical example. You have a friend that you've never gone to the house, and this friend is always dressing, man, you look so good today. And you go to the person's house, you just see cockroaches everywhere. Like, everything is so dirty and smelly and just, you can't even stand it. I mean, I'm not trying to say the person means to be hypocritical. I mean, you want to look neat when you're coming outside. But what does your inward look like? I mean, for me, I'm like, I don't even know how to describe it, but like, it depends on my closeness with the friend. I'm going to tell that person the truth, that, man, when I see you outside, oh, you look so this, and now, wow, okay. You know, sometimes, like, being real, we talk about being real, and we think being real is just on the physical. But being real is letting that's what God has had for you. The word God, sometimes we say that, it's not just hearing of the word, but doing. You don't just physically do. When God says worshiping in truth and in spirit, it has to be what your spirit man also is aware that you're doing. That brings me to another point now, so that was not my plan. But yeah, sometimes we do things physically and our spirit is wondering, when did you start this one? Because you haven't trained your spirit to know that you want to be radical for God. You haven't trained your inner mind to know that this is what I want for myself. It's just like, oh, you're coming to help in church and your mind is away. When I go home now, man, that Xbox 360, I'm going to play the game. And you're just physically maybe picking the tissues, trying to usher, and your mind is elsewhere. Your spirit will randomly ask you, what are you doing, self? Like, let me understand your physical action. I mean, but like, I don't know if it's always a question, how do I want the posture of my heart to be, not just my physical posture? Yes, we fall, but the question is, how do you rise up? How do you refreshing yourself? How do you renew your mind? Like Romans, what Romans is that? I think Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed by, please can you pull it up? But do not be conformed by the world, but be transformed with the renewal of your mind. Please pull that up, thank you. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Sometimes, I don't know if you attempt to push ourselves. Some things are like, it's just for today. Okay, let me just go ahead. But sometimes we attempt to push ourselves. No, this is not what God wants. Let me do it the way God wants and see the difference. Because I don't know if you guys have noticed, even in the words, he has promises. If you do this, I'll give you this. If you do that, I'll give you that. Or, I mean, one example is obey your parents and your days will be long. Yes, I have seen it. But with my parents, I've seen it, even with my grandparents. I know how my mom treated her grandma, and she's still alive today. 50 is no beans. For someone to live up to see 50, I mean, I think she's 50, 51, whatever. Yeah, you know, 50-ish. It's not beans. She has obeyed her parents, and she's living long. I know how she treated her mother before she passed away. And it's God's promise working. I can't deny that fact, because she has lived long enough, and she's still going to live more, I believe, and I know, yeah. But yeah, here, have inwardly pushing yourself to the attainment of God's plan, out and outwardly wearing that specially made garment just for you, and letting it fit you both inwardly and outwardly. I just have random examples. Sometimes I'm like, should I give this or not? But I'm just going to give this. It's like, you have like, for girls, I mean, you know the thing, we have to dress modest, and obviously for some reason you want to pick an outfit that doesn't, like you're not even comfortable with, just because, permit me if I use your name, it's just random names coming to my head. Random, maybe like Ada is wearing this kind of outfit, and let me just wear it too, because I don't know how she'd think if I wear my long skirt or, you know, cover my whole body. Let me just go with her. And that is not how your mind is. And that is not what you were trained to do. Not even trained. That is not what you're spiritually convicted to do, but you're just doing it just because. And you're not comfortable. You wear the clothes. You just be pulling it down because you're not comfortable. That's not what you have been trained inwardly to do. And that's not what your spiritual mind has convicted you to do, just because I want to fit in, or just because this is how Obiageli is dressing, or this is just how everyone else, let me just do it. And yet you're not comfortable. And I just used this analogy, this lame analogy, to explain letting it fit both inwardly and outwardly. I mean, that's not like a concrete example, but just I want you guys to have a physical picture of what I'm trying to say. So, Stephanie came up with her way of, like, I had some things here, and also with the help of the internet, like, ways to incline your physical to your spiritual. And I read a verse. Yes, that's the verse I read. It was Romans 12:2, renewing your mind. I think I touched on that. So we're going to move on to the next verse. And that's Psalm 139:23-24. Okay, I'm gonna open it. Okay, it was even here. Search me, God, and know my heart. Yeah, that's the right one. 23-24. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there's any offensive way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way. I'm going to read that again. Search me, God, and know my heart. Is that the same version? Yes, okay. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way, the everlasting way. And I talked about renewing your mind. That's like a way of renewing your mind. It's like a prayer. Search me, O God, know my heart. You want to be renewed. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You're trying to renew your mind, and you're telling God, come please, O God. Search my heart, search my mind, and know if there's a way that is not of you, and lead me right. That's the way of renewing your mind. I have a couple of verses here, but I probably won't go in deep into them. But I have Mark, if you're writing, Mark 12:30. I have Ephesians 1:18. I have Psalms 51:4. I have Ezekiel 36:26. But let me try Mark so and see what it says still, and so you guys can hear it too. So Mark, I said Mark 12:30. Okay, I see it right here. Yes. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. It's not just love the Lord with your physical being, the way you clap your hands, the way you praise God, and the way you sit in church, or the way you dress. That's a random version. I'm just saying it. Like, this is not what it is. It is, I'm going to read it again. Love the Lord with all your heart. I can't remember seeing anyone with the heart out of the body, except it's like a very weird disease or something. Your heart is in there. They said, love the Lord with all your soul. I mean, I don't think I can, like, oh, yeah, Joel, I see your soul. Can you give it to me? No, it's not physical. Then he said, with all your mind and all your strength. Strength is not something I can see and be like, oh, this is, I can see how much your strength is. It's so big. No, it's, how do I put it? It also has to do with your demeanor. It also has to do with how you position yourself, how you exude your energy, how radical, how truthfully radical you are for Christ. Not just, I am radical for Christ, dancing in church, smiling and doing all that kind of stuff. But how, I'm going to say my topic again, how is your physical demeanor, wearing the full Christ-like demeanor with the actual inward posture. Now, this brings me to my next point. Practicing your faith using God's word to defeat foes. I'm going to say that again. Practicing your faith using God's word to defeat foes. When I say foe, even if I was the one sitting there and someone says foe, my mind won't go to myself. I'll be like, oh, foe, man, that person that annoyed me the other day, or is it the devil? Oh, my foe. My mind won't go to myself, but the truth is that you can be your foe. You can be your own enemy. Yes, you can be your enemy. Because sometimes I wonder how, weird? I mean, I'm guilty of this too, but it's you read the word and maybe you're in that position where you're like, should I do this? Should I do that? Or should I not? Should I? And you remember a scripture, you'd be like, I mean, here's the scripture. I already know that I am a Christian. Or I already know that I am this, and God knows me. So even if I do this, it won't seem. No. In that way, you're being your foe because you know the truth, you know the right thing, but yet you're choosing to go the wrong way. I have something here as well. They said, just as bountiful harvest depends on the source of clean water, the quality of the fruit in my life, in your life, my actions, Just as bountiful harvest depends on the source of clean water, the quality of my fruit in my life, my words, my actions, attitude depends on my spiritual nourishment. I mean, I wish you guys could personalize it, but yeah, in mine, in yours, I'm going to read it again. Just as a bountiful harvest depends on the source of clean water, the quality of the fruit in my life, my thoughts, my words, my actions, my attitude depends on my spiritual nourishment. I personalized it, and that's why I say my spiritual nourishment. But it could be this way. It could otherwise, like on the other hand, it's not written in my book, but I'm just going to say it. The quality of my fruit, my life, my actions, my attitude can depend on what I think and what I feel. And what I want to do. It's not here, but I'm just saying that. Because I'm trying to emphasize the fact that I personalized this. So it's based on my spiritual nourishment. It could also be based on your spiritual nourishment. It depends on what you want and the will for your own life, as well as inclining with God's will for your life. I have a couple of verses here. But before then, I'm also going to say something. So, all this I said depends on my spiritual nourishment. But still, I mean, when you talk about spiritual nourishment, it's like reading the Bible, educating yourself in the words, knowing what God wants, you know, glorifying God. But still, though, let me tell you, knowing the scripture, cutting it, Oh, I know Psalm 1, I know Psalm 23. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I know the Lord's Prayer, Matthew, I know it. It doesn't stop there. Yes, I can know it and not know the full action of it. I mean, we have like a good amount of people here that went to Leon. After every chapel service, the benediction. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be accepted to God, my strength and my redeemer. Did I say well? No, no. Okay, permit me, I wasn't thinking straight, but yeah. But yeah, anyways, the college benediction. And I can tell you, I mean, I know it. I can tell you that everyone at Lee University knows that thing. But how many practice it? Like, let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart. This was not a planned scripture, but it even connects to what I'm saying right now. Let the words of my mouth, what I say, and the meditations of my heart. Sorry, if you have a message for me, come up here. Thank you. And the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer. So, I mean, this is what, like, you want the meditation of your heart to be acceptable. I mean, you can't just randomly be acceptable if by your will you're saying it, or it's by your, just my random thoughts I'm saying it. It has to be what you have nourished yourself with, like I said earlier, spiritual nourishment. I have a couple of verses here, and it's Psalm 1, 1 to 3. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. And I have Galatians 5, 22 to 23. And I also have Psalm 119, chapter 28. Don't be rushed, guys. Just pull up Psalm 1, 1 to 3. I'm opening mine here. You can open yours too, so you can read along. How happy is the man who does not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path of the sinners, or join a group of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that bears the fruit in the season, whose leaves do not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Yes, it prospers. Yes, come on. Yes, okay. Yes. You can see that here. And that's what I said earlier, spiritual nourishment. And it says, I mean, what else can you nourish yourself with spiritually? God's instruction, I think, except you guys have something else otherwise to say, but I think it's the Lord's instruction that you can use to nourish yourself spiritually. Please, if you're not writing, just write down that verse. It's really important. Psalm 1, 1 to 3. Then I have Galatians 5, 22 to 23. Okay, I'll pull it up still. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. I haven't finished. That's just the end of 23. But I want to say something. It's like, you can see joy that exudes from somebody. Joy that you can see it, if possible, even feel it with the person. But I can't carry joy. Oh, I mean, there's a song that goes, I have joy, 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 everlasting joy. Something, something forevermore. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but I can't physically see joy. I mean, I can see the action that joy exudes from somebody. I can see kindness in action. I can't see faith. No, I can't. I can have faith in God but not physically see my faith. Oh, let me drop my faith on my side first, then take it back and use it. No, I can't. So here, what I'm trying to say is that, like, most of these things are not physical. That's why your inward posture matters a lot. Because it's like you're deceiving yourself. Like, physically, you're doing, oh, yes, God, I love you so much. And inside, they're like, wait, man, I don't think it's as much, but, like, wait. I know it's a journey to, it's actually a long journey to try to level up what you think spiritually to physical actions. But yeah, sometimes we just want to like move away from that journey and pretend. There's no growth. Like, you're just making yourself stagnant for no reason. Because if you don't practice it inwardly, how does it become part of you? Character is not something that I'll be like, oh, yeah, okay, I think I want to. Okay, for example, something I have passed through, or trying to work out and trying to, you know, be fit. Not necessarily slim, but be fit. It's like me, and I'm like, okay. Oh, that's not a good example. But, yeah. Anyways, trying to practice some. No, yeah, I was talking about character. Trying to practice something that will be part of me. I want a healthy lifestyle to be part of me. I want to keep doing it so I'll be healthy. And I know it has a really good long-term goal. I mean, when I grow older, I still want to look young, you know, that kind of thing. You don't want to start working like this. You want to look older and you want to be older, walk, you know, majestically, you know, that kind of thing. So I didn't finish the verse I was reading. It was, so now 23, it still talked about this gentleness, self-control. I mean, don't forget, like, I took you off the track. What we're talking about here is, like, fruit of the Spirit and love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Anything outside of this is, like, I'm just intentionally pushing myself out of the law and the will of God. Okay, yes, I think I've dealt with the attitude depends on my spiritual nourishment. Now, moving forward, this is something, when I say I dealt with or I'm still growing in, one of them, whichever way you understand it, but it's admitting that your story is special and unique to you. Psalm 139:14. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Because, like, I know this is kind of, I'm going to fit it, like, I have this here for a reason. Like, it also has a lot to do with your inward posture. Like, what Lola said when she was giving her testimony. She was like, I'm not going to look, I might not be quoting you the right way, but this is what I understood from there. It's like not copying anyone else and just knowing that God has the right plan for you and, you know, working along what he has for you and not just looking at people and saying, oh, man, this girl's one is green and I like green now and I have blue. Why not green, you know? And you're not even seeing the qualities that your blue can do for you and green can't. You know, so here it's like admitting your story is special and unique to you. I mean, there's so many, like, if this world was like just a bed of roses, like, okay, this testimony is really powerful. Okay, just imagine, like, you heard Ruth's story, if everything was all smooth for Ruth, what would be a testimony? So it can't be a bed of roses. That's part of her story. And it makes it even fluffier to the ears. It makes it a fluffy story, and it makes it like, oh, wow. Not just, oh, wow, but like, God can do this for her. Why not me? He can also do it for me if I believe and if I have that inward posture he's looking for. Because God is not just going to work on your physical. Okay, Stephanie is wearing jeans and shirt today. I'm going to give her this type of blessing that suits the jeans and shirt. Oh, she's wearing long skirt today. I'm going to... No, it's your spirit. Because you can't, like, it's really hard to, like, say, oh, this is how I am inwardly. Like, especially when you're inclined to Christ, it's really hard to say, I just randomly want to change it. Maybe when I take a shower the next morning, I just change what I have in my heart for maybe this, that. It's hard, but physically we can change our clothes, change hairstyle, change everything. That's why God does not work with the physical, because we know we can change. We can change this flesh. We can, it's possible to have the power over it by yourself. And that's where, if you think back to what I talked about, being your fool, just you having the power over your flesh by yourself. So God works inwardly with you, owning your story, knowing that this is what God has planned for me. Yes, like we talked about in the fellowship yesterday, we talked about like, I asked a question about journey. Like, God can have, like, a journey for you. And the journey is, you and your friend are going to the same destination, but God just wants you to go on a farther journey than your friend. Yes, because he wants to, there's some things that you have to have from the Spirit that maybe your other friend has to go a different route to have it. Because God definitely does everything for a reason. Like, I already touched on this, knowing that you're not your own. You're not your own. God brought you here, and he owns you, whether you like it or not. Like, you are God's vessel. I mean, I want to be God's vessel. I mean, I think everyone else does too. But so, like, it's like, he owns me. He owns my well-being. And definitely, like, he owns me, so why will I be ashamed to say it? Or why will I be like, no, I don't think. Probably not. No, because he has, like, definitely a good plan for us. I remember one time I spoke, we were having the Lee University African Students Association meeting, and this was an analogy I used that just came back to mind. It's like, man, you've been living in this house. Probably you have no water, you have no food as such, but like you've just been managing life and taking it how it comes. And you have President Obama giving you a call. This is far-fetched, but yeah, it's still an analogy. You have President Obama giving you a call. Hey, Stephanie, I have a one-bedroom flat for you. It has TV, it has light, it has water, and you're going to be having breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day, and we're going to take care of everything you need financially. No rent for you. I'm like, no, Mama, no, thank you so much. I'm going to have my managing life. I'm going to, you know, just stay where I don't have water, no light. This analogy might have thrown some of you off, but what I'm trying to say is that God is like me saying God owns me. I know he has a perfect will for me. I know the will might not just, even if it's perfect, doesn't mean the road to the will is going to be perfect, because the world is not a bed of roses, neither is it a bush of thorns. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be as easy as you want it. After all, this is an analogy my mom uses for me, like, if God knew, like, Jesus knew he was going to be king, like, when he carried his cross, he was nailed and he died on the cross, but he knew that, man, this is just, these people are going to see something, man, on the third day when I rise again. But he still went through that suffering. He still went through the hardship, knowing fully well that, man, I have an expected end, though. Like, you guys can just be doing what you're doing, but you can flog me, you can hit me, you can do whatever. I can carry my cross. You can humiliate me. You can even hang me on the cross in between two sinners. I know my end, though. You're making the world a bush of thorns for me, but definitely there's something greater coming. And that's why I say the end is going to be better than the beginning thereof. And there is always light at the end of the tunnel. But you just have to go through it sincerely. Like, I don't know how anyone else sees pretense, but pretense is like restriction of growth. It's like, what I have on the inside is not matching up on the outside, but I'm just physically doing it. It's like I have a really pretty dress I need to hang on something, and I don't have a hanger. And I'm just wanting to put the clothes, and it's going to fall down pretty soon, but it's just going to stay there, latch on there for a while. but it's going to fall down like really soon because there's no hanger to hang it. That's how I see your physical self is. It's like you have no inclination to the strength of your, the most powerful person. You have no inclination to him. It's like your physical self is just hanging and pretty soon it's going to fall off. You might be enjoying, you might be, oh, this is life, this is everything. Oh, like, I really enjoy. But to be honest, soonest it's going to fall off. And you're going to be like, oh, wow, I didn't even know. Or, yeah, you know, that kind of thing. So that brings me to my next point here is, like, humility. Having the heart of a servant. I mean, it's not just like when we hear the word servant, we hear someone that just be bowing down everywhere she's going, or like, oh yes, I have to, you know, bow down to my leader or this. No. Okay. So I have here a verse from 1 Timothy 1:12. 1 Timothy 1:12. Okay, I'm there. I give thanks to, that's 1 Timothy 1:12. I give thanks to Lord Jesus, I give thanks to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considers me faithful, appointing me to do the ministry. That's serving the Lord, doing his ministry, doing what he has called us to do. Even a mere testimony is serving the Lord because you're like, God, I praise you. I'm serving you because I served you. This is what you have done for me. It doesn't necessarily have to. I mean, yes, God is someone you have to reverence him. You have to give him all the respect. But still, at the same time, like someone said in testimony, can't remember who, was it Dupsy? She said, I just lost my track. But she said, he's someone that you have to have a personal relationship with. No, I think that was Lola. I might be mistaken, but one testimony was said that way. Like, he wants to have a relationship with you. Although it's someone like you have to, oh God, I thank you, I praise your reverencing, I praise your holy name. But still, he's that person that, man, God, I love you so much. And he communicates, to be honest. Like, God communicates. Like, I'm so excited because I've experienced it several, and I keep experiencing it several times. Like, he communicates with you. You just have to listen and be in the right inward posture. You know, there are certain things that God, you want God to do. Like, God, man, I want you to do this for me, and I definitely know you're going to do this. You just, like, we talked about this in fellowship yesterday, if you guys can remember. Okay, this fellowship I'm talking about, not everyone knows it. We have a regular fellowship on Saturday, 7:30 p.m. at the Mayfield Annex, and that's for the Mount Zion Prayer Center youth. So whenever I say fellowship, just know that's what I'm talking about. And it happened on Saturday. Yes, Joe, yeah? Oh, yeah, hallelujah. So we talked about this in fellowship. It's like, man, God, this is what I want you to do. And you're just sitting. God, I know you're going to do it for me, man. You're going to do it. And you're just sitting. No effort, no nothing. How do you say God to, like, I keep thinking, this was a huge thought for me then. I was way younger than this. It might sound funny now, but I was way younger than this when I used to think about it. Because my mom always, like, talked to us about, you know, praying and all this stuff, that God will help you. Some of you might have experienced this too. Mom, please, I want this kind of shoe or I want this kind of dress. Steffi, mama, go and ask God. And I'm like, mommy, okay. Because if you ask her any other thing, she's like, I've told you, go and ask. She's not saying in a very loving manner, go and ask God, okay? Then if you say it again, I'm like, what? Steffi, go and ask God. I'm like, how is God going to come and, you know, do it for me? Like, to be honest, that made me wonder, like, is God really physical that will come and give me what I want? Because I can remember my sister and I, although she's 2 years older, she's not here. She's 2 years older than I am. But at the point, we were like twins because we did everything together. So then one of our biggest wishes was we wanted like a Barbie doll house, like where we could dress the Barbie doll, like a legit house. And one thing we wanted were boots, like really nice boots. I don't know. It's not sounding weird to me. But yeah, that was what it was then. We wanted really nice boots. And every time we asked, like, Mommy, this is what we want now. Just buy it now, please. No, Mommy, I want it. She's like, go and ask God. That thing always threw me off. Because I'm like, God is not going to, like, it was like a thing for me to think, is God really going to come down or come in my dream to put it somewhere that I don't know, or he's going to hide it as a treasure for me to find? Because every time we'll see, because my mom always thinking like, oh, my mom was just trying to, you know, not pretend, but like to play with us. Maybe she already has it in her plan to buy them. The next morning, we wake up and go to the sitting room and see it there. So every morning, it was like a thing to run to the sitting room. Oh, dang, it's not there. So it became a thing for me, like, is God going to come down and give it to us? What is all this? But then, I mean, that's all that story was just a little, yeah. But what she was trying to inculcate was prayers, like, tell God what you want. But yeah, like, God is not going to come down and be like, oh, yeah, so this is it, Stephanie. Oh, ta-ra, you have this, go ahead and take it. No, he wants you to put, I said all that story about, I'm trying to, like, you know, make my point a little funny, but I was trying to also say that God wants us to put in at least effort and faith. Have faith as a mustard seed and you move mountain. He wants us to put at least a handful of effort big. You know, it depends on how big your hand is. But anyways, I'm talking about, like, at least putting, like, an effort. Oh, your hands are big. I can see that. Put in something at least, and he's going to put you through. It's not just you sitting there, God, man, you're going to provide me this by the end of this year, and I know it. You're just going to wake up at the end of the morning and be whatever you time thing you give God, and nothing is going to be there because you're not working for it too. So here I have qualities of a servant. They serve God, not people. I already said that earlier. Even Mary saying, oh Lord, I praise your name in sincerity and in truth, though. Not just praising God just for the sake of saying it because my sister beside me is saying it. But it's like, serving God, not people. God, I praise you. And you mean that you praise him. I have Galatians 1:10 for that. I'd like to read it on the big screen, please. Okay, it's right there. For I do not persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. I think that really explains what I've been trying to say. It's like, oh, because, I mean, I just said that before. She's praising God. Why don't I lift my hand and say, God, I thank you. And yet you don't even know what that means within you. Just because she's saying it, oh, yes, let me just go ahead and go do what she's doing so I won't look like I'm left out or I won't look dumb. But here it says, do I seek to please men? That's a question you should ask yourself. The first one say, like, he said, I do not persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of God. I'm not here for men. I mean, yes, it's part of something. I'm supposed to show love. I'm supposed to care. But even with that, said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and every other thing shall be added. The fruits of the Spirit will be added. But you just have to be real with yourself about where you're at. They said, and also I have here, the qualities of a servant still. I have here, they are others oriented, willing to serve everyone. So right now, say, look at how the first and the second one went. I'm going to read the first one again. They serve God, not people. And here they said they're willing, they are others oriented, and they're willing to serve everyone. So the question that came up in my head right now, I don't know about if it came up in anyone else's head, but it's like, how do I serve God and serve everyone. It's like, that's why I said, seek ye the kingdom of God and everything shall be added. Lean not on your own understanding. Leaning on my understanding, I'll be like, well, how do I do both? That's a question. But it's like, I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. When I follow God's instruction by seeking him first, every other thing will be added. But not just sitting and be like, God, you're going to add everything else, okay. No, what is the perfect will of God for you, like we talked about yesterday at fellowship? So, another quality of a servant, murdering a person, just so I put that out there. Being observant and alert. I had a passage for the first one, the previous one I said, being willing to serve everyone. And that was, we're not going to read that because of time, but if you just want to put it up on the screen and everyone else sees it, that's fine. And it's Philippians 2, 3 to 4. And that's what I had for the servants are others oriented and serve everyone. That's the verse I had. Then here, observant and alert. I think I'll read that one. And that's Philippians 2, 3 to 4. Do nothing out of worldly or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourself. Everyone should look out not only for his interest, but for the interest of others. I drive, but I don't like drive. I don't have a license yet. But like the thing is that like when we drive, we don't drive for ourselves. You're sweetie, you're late to your event, you're late to your occasion, you just drive. You can't drive on top of everyone else's car because you're late. You're not driving just for your interest, but others so are driving. So you're going to watch, the back of the car, I think I'm going to go this way. I don't want to hit that guy. Okay, I'm going to go that way. Oh, he's behind me. I'm going to move forward. Oh, I'm trying to reverse. I'm going to have to tell him to move back a little. Then you press your horn and be like, oh, please move back a little bit. Because you're not just driving for you. Everyone else is on the road as you are. So, you're watching out for the interest of others as well as you. Because to be honest, one thing I realized is that growth happens through that. Because I'm going to see, she thinks this way, and I never thought of it that way. That's adding on to myself as well as helping her. Because she's coming to me with a situation where I haven't even experienced myself, but through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I know how to tell her, this is how you should handle it, or read this Bible passage, or read this scripture, God is going to, do this to you, And from that, I'm learning that, this is where she went through this. I'd rather not go through it this way. I can ask God for wisdom to go through it a certain way that will lead me to the path of righteousness, that will lead me right. Okay, thank you, Joel. I see 3 minutes left. Thanks. Then, other points I have here is, what do you do with the nose? Like, not the nose. I mean, the nose, N-O, like, no. This kind of no, I mean. What do you do with it? You're trying to, God, this is what I want. He's not going to say something, no. Mm-mm. So this will make you go through the process of getting it, trying to, I'm almost there. Then no. And that's it. So what do you do with it? Do you see it as, yes. I mean, to be honest, so I don't do this. It's hard for me to see it this way, like, yes, God told me no because he has a better way for me. I know that in my head, but how do I physically put that, or how does my posture tell me that this is actually what I am doing? Because I know this is my head. I know that, God has a better plan for me, but how do I show that? How do I put myself, how do I try to the Christ-like demeanor to actually put my inward posture the way that God wants me to know that Stephanie, this no has a better yes for you. I mean, I keep using my name because I know myself better than everyone else here. So that's why I keep using my name. Someone else might have Stephanie here. So, yeah. How do you let God and let go? sorry, actually let go and let God. It could be either ways, though. I prefer let God and let go, because to be honest, it's really hard to let go without letting God. Normally, it's let go and let God, but I changed it. It's let God and let go, actually. Let go and let God. But I want it to be, I think I like it, let God and let go. Because I find it hard to just randomly let go, maybe of a certain hurt or of a certain, like, thing that I didn't like or someone did towards me or something. Like, it's really hard to let go without letting God. So I rather let God than let go. Because even while when I let God, it's going to show me how my inward posture is going to be like in order to let go. That's what I think, and I think that's right. Whew. Thank you, God. I mean, that was actually my last point for today. But it's just not the end yet. But this is, like, I just want you, I'm going to say my topic again. Because actually, this topic was kind of like a revelation. That's why I don't have it in my head. So it's wearing the full Christ-like demeanor with an actual inward posture. You might ask yourself this question, how? I'm already touched on some, and this was a personal revelation, but like God can reveal it to you a certain way else. Like, pay attention to your spiritual life. Like, pay attention. Because out of the heart, the mouth speak it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak it. Like, you can't give what you don't have. I know everyone has heard this several times. You can't give what you don't have. And not if your heart is empty, it's going to be like you're not going to even have anything to do. You're just going to keep sitting. We go to school to fill up our knowledge. We go this way. Oh, I want to learn. I want to learn. You're filling up your mind. You're doing this. And yet, and afterwards, when you go to school, you can, you know, apply the knowledge you received from that job to, from that school to have a job, you know, to well equip yourself for life. But like, how is your spiritual life? Don't let your spiritual life hang on and just latch on there without having it hang on the power of Christ. Because that's where everything else comes from. 1 minute here, I'm thinking. That's where everything else comes from. Out of the abundance of my heart, I want my mouth to speak. And I want to have the right things in my heart. Even if I fall, yes, I'm going to fall. It's not going to be a smooth path. I want to take myself and put myself on the right track. Okay, yes, yeah, so I fell, and now I'm going to stand up and say, this is where I am going. I was just thinking about this earlier on today. It's like, I mean, God has given us the ability to say, resist the devil and to flee. So once you have the boldness and confidence of the fact that, I am walking with Christ. In fact, before you flee, the devil have fled. The devil have, you know what I'm saying. It just gives me like a specific analogy in my house. Like, I have several cats around my place, and I'm not the animal person if you know me too well. Like, several cats. And, you know, I was kind of fearful initially. I'm like, man, I like my house, but like, these cats, how will I deal with them? It was a big thing for me to think about before I started living there. I'm like, what the heck? Like, something I can even step on and need to die. No way. So every time I'm walking out of my house, I stamp my foot on the floor and they all run away. That's how you can do to the devil. Show that, man, you got nothing on me. Like, I can push you away. Like, this is not, like, I'm not here to, you know, rally with you or negotiate with the cats. Are you going to leave the front of my house before I come out? Or how is it going to be like? Are you going to keep sitting there and eating and enjoying life while I want to pass and I don't want you in my way? No, I have to do it by force. Like, get out. This is not, I don't want you here. You know, that kind of thing. That's just an aside analogy, but yeah. But I hope that the Spirit convicts you to do what's right inwardly and outwardly and worship Him in truth and in spirit and just be inclined with His will and don't consciously let yourself derail. Because doing that, you're not going to have the fullness of his grace with you. You are not. Because you know the right thing, but yet you want to do the wrong thing. When you can train your spirit you can elevate your spirit to that extent that, oh yes, I know this is wrong, but I am not going to do it. I might derive pleasure from it. I might be happy with it, but this is not the perfect will of God for my life. I'm not going to do it. So God, I just thank God for everything that he has been doing, and I thank God for the fact that I'm able to stand here and to be used as his vessel, and I'm not going to leave without saying a prayer. So do what you do while we pray. Stand, sit, raise your hands. I'm not going to do it because Sister Nkechi is doing it. I'm not going to just sit because I feel like, but can we have the piano, please? Yes, we're not just going to do it because this is what we feel or this is what another person else is doing. But I am going to be in my physical posture. No, that was not the topic. But yeah, I'm not going to do it because someone else is, but I'm just going to be in what God wants me to be. My inward posture and my physical demeanor, my Christ-like physical demeanor. I'm going to do what he wants me to do. So if you like, you can rise up, you can sit, you can kneel, you can raise your hands while we invite God to this. He was already here. I can't just say I'm inviting him. He's been here for a while. He's been here. And we're not going to live here without his presence. He's going to still be with us, and we're going to strive to be with him at every minute. Like, sometimes I think of, how can I fathom God's love? It's too big. It's too wide. I can't even fathom. Even yet, when we annoy him, when we're doing things that are really out of his will for us, and yet he still finds a way to love us. He still finds a way to come, I'm gonna have you in my arms today, even if I'm not really satisfied with what you did earlier. So I want you to think, look, like, don't even have distractions around you. If you can, if you want to close your eye, that will make you concentrate. Think. Most of the time, like, reflection is the best thing to do. Reflect on yourself sincerely. Do not because at the end, if you just want to do a big just because, that just because is going to take you off the leash and you're going to fall. You're going to fall because that's just your own understanding you're leaning on. So, Lord, we pray today that we won't just be hearers of the word. We won't just be hearers and speakers of the word. Like Matthew said, we'll just call Father, Father, and yet you're going to say, I don't know you because you didn't do my will. I am going to be a woman, if you're a man here, a man of good, to glorify God, to do his will for my life and not consciously deviate by making a wrong physical inward posture. I'm going to do his will for my life. I might fall, yes, it was part of the journey. It just depends on how I get up and move on. So I want to invite God in your heart today and let him in. No restrictions. This is someone that already knew you even before you were born. So what are you even hiding? If you think you're hiding, you were deceiving yourself a long time ago, because he looks in your heart. He sees everything. Wait, like, I don't know if you get the fact that he said he knew you before you were born, and he knows the end from the beginning. So just laugh at yourself, because you've been deceiving yourself a long while if you think that you were hiding something from the Most High. He sees you the way you are, and he still says, come, my child, I will love you the same. You know, God is just so wonderful. Praise him in the names you have for him. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Omnipotent. He is Omniscient. He is the El Shaddai. He is the Elohim. He is the Adonai. He is the Lord who is, who was, and who is to become. He is the Ancient of Days. We love you, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus, because you see us as rotting, as everything as we are in there, but you still choose to love us the same. So what are we hiding? What are we restricting from happening that is part of your will? God, we're sorry because we had been deceiving ourselves a long time ago. You had been looking into our hearts and we were just acting like, no, I'm just doing it on my own and he doesn't even know. That's a lie. So I hope this doesn't just stay in the four corners of the walls of the church. But I hope you take it with you. I know that God is always there. He's always going to be with you. He's going to guide you. Yes, you will fall because this road is not this world or life is not a bed of roses. You're going to fall. If you're not careful, you'll fall again and again and again. But definitely not, because we have the love of Christ in us. We're going to fall and rise up as victorious people, as conqueror people, as conquerors that we are, as those who can call upon the name of the Lord and every knee must bow. And that's those who can call upon the name of the Lord and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Victory is ours. Prosperity is ours. But we just have to be true to ourselves. Because you're not pretending for God, but at the end, you're going to suffer because you will fall over and over and over again. So, Lord, we thank you, we worship you because you're doing your thing. And I can't even stop it. No one can stop it because you're the Lord of all. You're the Lord, you're the Most High, you're the Ancient of Days. Just keep doing your thing. I don't have to tell you what to do. Do your deeds in the lives of everyone seated here that they shall not go back the same, but they shall be transformed by the renewal of their minds and know that God, you reign forever and ever and ever and ever, and no one shall stop your reign because he reigns, you reign supreme and reign everlasting, God. Thank you for all you do is good, even the ones we don't see as good, but yet still try to go through it because we know we have an expected end and there's always light at the end of the tunnel. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Can we all say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for you have started a work that you're going to finish. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. 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 If you're a student, can you all just stand, if you don't mind, quickly? All the students, if you want to stand. Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for what you're doing within our generation. We are so grateful. So raise up a child in the way it should go. Father, when they grow up, will not depart from it. Father, thank you for your hand upon this future you're giving to our generation. Thank you for their heart for you. Thank you for their passion for you. Thank you for their zeal for you. Thank you for their commitment, their faithfulness. Father, today we can see your hand upon the worship, your hand upon their servanthood, your hand upon the word. Father, thank you for what we have tasted and witnessed today is truly your faithfulness to those who wait upon you. Again, we commit them into your hands. Continue to use them, continue to bless them, and continue to honor your heart for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. We thank God so much. We are really blessed. As a spiritual parent, it's wonderful when you see God do this in the heart of young ones. If their physical parents were here, I can't imagine the joy of raising up young people who are just sold out for what God has for them. Amen? We want solid Christian doctors. We want solid Christian engineers. We want solid Christian people in government offices. And that's what God is raising in this place. Amen? And we thank God for it. Amen. I wasn't going to be part of the service today, but we have one or two things that we really want to do today before we turn it over to the students to close for us. Amen? Before I do that, there was a just the best way I can describe the word that we received this morning. Of course, I can tell she's my daughter because she's long-winded. Amen. So we have the same DNA. This message this morning, the best way I can describe it is this. A man came to collect a debt from a family. Came to collect money being owed. The parents, the mother and the father, they went under the bed and they told their little daughter, go tell the person outside, we are not home. So the little daughter went outside and told the man, my mom and dad are hiding under the bed, but they said I should tell you, they are not home. That's the only way I can say the word was this morning. Out of the hearts, the mouths of babes and sucklings, the word of God is perfected. The transparency and the purity and the honesty by which this word came this morning speak to my heart a lot. We have been so programmed to be religious, but from the heart of a young girl that is so much in love with God, God is calling us again to prioritize our identity, to be our inner man, our spiritual identity, and our external identity. So I really want to thank God for you, Stephanie, and for all the young people, the worshipers. Everything you've done this morning, truly, I believe God is going to use you all to lead us in this move of God. I really thank God for your obedience. Amen. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I want to do two things really quick. One, we have one of our young, wonderful students that just graduated. We did for the college students, but we have a young student. She's not here. Okay. I think they really had a great party and celebrated. But Cecilia graduated from Cleveland High School, and we're so blessed, and we're so glad, and we celebrate with her. Amen? Is he here? Huh? Okay. All right, she's not here, but if you see her, just congratulate her for the wonderful victory she has. Amen? They had a great party, and we missed it, so we'll make up for it. God bless you. The other thing is, our mommy here, when people are so faithful and committed to Zion, we always want to honor them. So we have our mommy, Mommy Felicia. Please, can you come? She will be leaving us. She's been with us for quite a while. Wonderful family. We thank God for your life. She's always in church. She's always in church. Always praying for Mount Zion. She'll be leaving tomorrow to Nigeria. And she has been here with her family and very faithful, giving good advice, giving good counsel. Now she's leaving to Nigeria. We want to bless her and pray for her. Amen. And release her, and the Lord will be with her. And if God blesses you to bless her before she leaves, that will be a great blessing. Amen. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for the mothers you've given to us. We thank you for faithful men and women of God, virtuous women that they truly have lived the example of knowing how to honor the Sabbath day, how to honor you, and to pray for their children, and to teach their children your word. Thank you that in hard times, their children rise up and they stand upon that which they've been taught. So, Father, today, we bless this daughter of Zion. We bless this mother of the body. Father, as she travels, we say, go before her. Go before her. Give her favor through every part of this trip. Father, when she arrives, give her good testimonies. May she meet great testimonies. May she be received with great thanksgiving. Father, thank you for the way she's blessed us. Bless her indeed. Bless her indeed. And go with her. Go before her. We'll give you all the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May we thank God for you. Thank you so much. We love you. We appreciate you. And our phone numbers are still very with you. Call anytime. She likes to text a lot, so text us anytime, okay? Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much. You want to say anything?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Almighty God. I don't have much to say. Just to say, I thank all of you for your prayers, for your support, for your love for me and my children and my family. And I pray the Almighty God will continue to strengthen you and give us the grace to be more of God than the earthly things. The Lord will help all of us, and this church will continue to grow higher and higher in Jesus' name. I pray that by the grace of the Almighty God, we shall see again in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. If you want to bless her today. She lives tomorrow. Amen. Amen. Okay, who is? Yeah. Are you the one doing the announcement? Okay. All right. Oopsie, God bless you. We like to bless you.
Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. We're so thankful to God. I'm sorry, Siri. We're so thankful to God for everything that he's done in our lives. And I just want to thank Stephanie for allowing God to use you as a vessel. It was a really, really great word. And the quote, I don't know where she got the quote from, the one that says, just as a bountiful harvest depends on a source of clean water, the quality and fruit of our lives, words and actions and attitude depends on our spiritual nourishment. And Pastor always talks about how we shouldn't be so concerned about the religious things that, you know, other people want to do, but we should be focused on our spiritual mind and focusing on the things that God really wants for us and being able to align our actions with what God wants for our lives. And so I just want to thank you and encourage you to apply that to your lives as you go into the week. And please listen to the following announcements. So do we have any first-timers in the church today? No? Okay. Well, we hope to see you next week. And Family Sunday is first Sunday, which is next week. And it's a special service that focuses on the family. There are going to be flyers out in the lobby. And if you want to take a few flyers just to celebrate and share with your friends, your neighbors, so that everyone can be there for Family Sunday. And then also, please be reminded that during the summer months of May, June, and July, service starts at 10:30, not 10:40. The choir will be meeting this Saturday, May 27th at 2 p.m. MZPC East. Please see Shadoa for more details. Today there is lunch, and it will be served. It will be served in MZPC East. So as soon as we're done today, if you want to head over to MZPC East, if you don't know where that is, you can just ask someone. Most of us do know where that is. So, and it's going to be great food. So please be there. And then, God loves a cheerful giver. So please, tithes and offerings are supposed to be put over on the left side of the lobby as you go out in the lobby. Please make sure that you're always thankful to God, and we encourage monetary tithes and offerings. You can also donate online at mzpc.org. Oh, yes. The baby shower for Kaylee and Emmanuel would be this Sunday at 1:30 p.m. So we're not only just eating, we're actually also celebrating Kaylee and Emmanuel's baby shower. Yay! Any other announcements that you want to put up? Yes. Birthday and anniversaries. Happy birthday anniversaries to our May people. June is coming soon. And yes, if you want to be an usher and a greeter, please see Pastor Lewis or Leander to sign up. Any more announcements? Yes. MZPC Youth Fellowship meets 7:30 at the Diversity Council office, and it was a really great time yesterday. We really had a lot of fun, and we encourage people to meet with us 7:30.